the first Sunday in Missions Month, week number one message is Biblical Foundation. And as your pastor, I think this passage has been one of those messages that, one of those passages that is mundane for me, used to be, but I still remember, I think it was 1976, John R.W. Stott, and you heard me quote him so many times, and this is one of those, the main message, you know, Urbana conference every 4 years that he did. And I wasn't there, but what I'm saying is that the article that he published through that presentation changed my life. And then I met Wade and others. So let's look at some misconceptions, myth about missions. Let's debunk them before we begin. Myth number one is missions is only for extraordinary Christians. If you know Bob and Grace, before they left, and they were just suburb physician and the family who just, you know, Asian American family in Chicago. Bo and Cindy used to have a little condo house in Buena Park, two kids. Or later on, when they're left, they're three. JT came around. A little minivan, a little excess, you know, regular people. You and I are one of those people God calls us to go. And we will explain clearly what different layers of going and sending and participating in the missions would be throughout this message. But missions is for everyone. Myth number two is missions more for big churches. Our church is small, and we got smaller. So we don't have much of a finance and resources that we could send. But actually, at the heart of it, mission is central rather than mission is addendum to what we are actually doing as church. Myth number three, involvement in mission is great but optional. Yeah, I agree. I support. I think you're great, but it is optional. No, we'll find out today that it is for every Christ follower. Number four is probably the most common thing for us. I want to get involved in missions. I am willing when I have time and resources. Currently, I don't. But once again, if you look at the scale of what missions, living missionary looks like in our lives, that it is possible. And just because you have a children, you don't say, our family don't go vacation because we don't have time and, you know, resources. You make it happen. It's good for your family. And just because, you know, you're in a career, you don't take care of your aging parents as much as you could do. The missions is that. I think one of the encouraging thing at the same time, sad reality we were hearing whenever we visit Bo and Cindy, and they will say, we're so grateful that Crossway has connected us regularly and not only support us financially, but, you know, remember those month, Missions Month, we used to have a care package. And, you know, Cindy and Bo, they're so radical. They didn't really care about the code language. I just hated whenever back in 90s when you have to stop using any kind of spiritual language, prayer. in the prayer is a lifting up, you know, some weird languages. And, you know, Cindy and Bo ignore those rules quite a bit. So remember that we were emailing as if they're the next state. But I think it's really good to see that they were supported, but at the same time, when they're saying is that when we go to missionary conference, that they're saying they're financially supported, but they forgot by their church, home church members. So when they go back, they feel like a stranger. What I'm saying is, one of the things that we could do is email Patrick and Tim, praying for you. Oh, WhatsApp. You could actually literally call, leave a message, and they'll call back. The same thing with Don Carlos in Yucatan and Noe. There are so many easier ways to contact and connect and encourage them. So there are a few things that we need to clarify, but this one helpful distinction for two words that we keep hearing. One of them is mission, and one of them is missions. And Scott Morrow, in his book, a team of his books, wrote Introducing World Visions, a Biblical Historical Practical Survey, has a helpful distinction and the definition. Mission in singular is everything the church is doing that points to the kingdom of God. It is mission of God. God wants to accomplish, and we are his hands and his feet. The missions, in one sense, is to the specific task of reaching people for Christ by crossing cultural boundaries. So the reason why we say Missions Month is because of that. And then missions is also singular because of this definition. So listen to this. Therefore, the mission of God is carried out through missions in the proclamation of the gospel and meeting the needs of the poor and needy and the marginalized. Today's passage in Genesis 12, in verses 3, captures the big picture of God's sovereign purpose and plan. And this is actually biblical foundation of the whole entire missions that we're doing, even in the New Testament. But we need a little bit of a background. Otherwise, it will sound like, you know, feel a little lost in connections. Genesis 1 and 2 is creation. Chapter 11, human fall. The Adam and Eve sin. The sin nature, original sin, comes into human race. And the corruption and curse happens. And chapter 11 ends with the story of Tower of Babel. One of the biggest sins that human race back then had, we want to make our name for great instead of God. So maybe it's a, you know, compared to modern technology and, you know, architect, it might be a small thing, but that they were building Tower of Babel, saying, we will reach the heaven. And it was great, you know, offensive things to God. So God scattered them by giving them language, the 3,000 languages out of that story. So it was one united people, the creation of God, and it became people's scattered everywhere, all around the earth. That people's meaning is a people groups, not geopolitical nations, but ethno-linguistic units, the tribes and the ethnic groups or spreader. And then let's listen to the call that God is giving to Abram. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord, the capital O-R-D means the unique name of Yahweh. You couldn't pronounce, and the way they say it, you know, that's the probably closest scholars' imagination of this will sound like it. You know, back in the days, remember, even about decades ago, a lot of the Christian languages and preachers will say Jehovah. But actually, that was really corrected in a way that Yahweh. And then those are all consonants, and no, there's no vowels. And then because of those four words, four consonants became, in English translation, the Lord, Yahweh. Now the Lord said to Abram, this is before Abram became Abraham in chapter 17, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. The scattered people, the fallen nature, the curse of God, the God's big picture is redeeming the whole entire world to Him. By His grace. But what does He do? He calls one person, Abram. And this is where mission begins. This is not just a tribal God, but the one true God who created the universe and mankind. In Genesis 1:1, this God, in the beginning of God, created heavens and earth. And Isaiah 45:5 says, there is no God besides me. I'm the only one and true God, it says. So there is no Christianity God, Christian God, and there is no Hindu God or Islam God. There is one true God in the entire universe. This is the God. He's the God of history. God has a sovereign plan to which we are called to join in. Sorry about that. God's sovereign plan is first to call us to be set apart. Go from your country and from your kindred. Leave your family. This is God's calling Abraham by sovereign election, that you are going to belong to me, the holy people of God, meaning that He is set apart. The first thing that we are doing is God's calling us to belong to His mission, but He's actually calling us by choosing us in His sovereign election for us to be His own. Do you see this? Throughout the scripture, God calls Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and go on and on. In the New Testament, the church, the apostles and teachers and pastors, elders and deacons, are actually hands and feet of God. Meaning, God wants to accomplish His great purpose, sovereign purpose and plan through calling each person. And obviously, Judaism, Israel, most Israel, the Jewish people would not recognize this, the God's sovereign plan for the, not just for Israel, but for, not for the Jews, but the Gentiles as well, the whole world. And this was actually implanted in the beginning of the Genesis here. So our missions begins at a, as a part of God's mission. Secondly, it's about God's blessing in chapter and the verse 2. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. Verse 1 was a command. Go, leave your country to a land. He didn't even say exactly, go to this place. Go, leave. And I will lead, guide you to the land. And the promised land was a Canaan. But if you look at the whole thing, God commands and gives this threefold promise. In one essence and in one simple way to put, God's command was for blessing them, blessing Abram. In context, the three promises, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, I will make your name great. But if you look at verse 1 and 2, great nation means not, once again, geopolitical nation, but I'm talking about this, the offspring, posterity. Abram was already 75 years old, have no children. God is saying, I will make you a father that has so many people, multitudes of offspring, and they'll make up a nation. And I will bless you. Of course, it's a health and other things there. And, you know, I'll make your name great. And because of Abraham, we are saved through that line. Contextually, let's look at this. Promises in this way. I'll give you a land. I'll give you a posterity. In other words, many multitudes of offsprings. He doesn't have anything. Or until 25 years, he doesn't have one single child. And he tries to fulfill God's promise by doing stupid thing, and Ishmael came out of there. Right? Not through Sarah, but his maidservant, right? And the blessing itself is for us as well. Blessing in eternity is actually salvation. And that's why Jesus is in the middle of this, in the covenant. Genesis 17, verse 5, God gives them, it gives Abraham, here is a sign of my covenant with you in the circumcision. And he changed his name to Abram, to Abraham. Exalted father to father of multitudes. And one man to all people, the blessing comes. And then your offspring, in the Old, the New Testament, Paul looks at it as, If you are in Christ through faith, you are offspring, true offspring. In the seed of Abraham is actually through faith. So God recognized Abraham's faith as counted as righteousness, Genesis 15 says. That's the really gospel, right? Abraham was chosen and select to be blessed, not because of what something that Abraham did merited him, but because sovereign mercy and grace. Romans 9, the Apostle Paul is saying, indeed, 25, he says in Hosea, those who are not my people, I will call my people. And her who was not beloved, I will call beloved. The reason why those are in quotation is Hosea was commanded, guided, directed by God to name his children not my people, not beloved. It's an object lesson for him. And God is saying to us, you and me, who are not chosen Israelites, you are not my people, but I will call you my people through this Abraham covenant. And then you are not beloved, I will call you beloved. And then we are including that blessing as well. So, hence, missions is a God-centered living of being blessed by God in which we can respond to the big picture of God's plan. Bear with me. And as we are finishing up this number three point, it will make sense much more. God bless the God's purpose in general. In short, is God bless us so that we will be a blessing to all peoples. That's not typo. It's peoples in a way that, once again, ethno-linguistic, all groups of people, the people groups. Verse 4 starts, I will bless you, and verse 2 ends with this, so that you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Do you see this? God's purpose is, Abraham, I want to bless you, but my bigger purpose, my big picture is that so that you could be a blessing for all the peoples of the earth. And then how is he going to do that? Within 25 years, he had only, Isaac comes out, and he had only a handful of people around him. Scarcely could say the fulfillment, but as the time comes, the land, Canaan, is promised land, is fulfilled when the Israel comes in to the promised land after wandering for 40 years. And they enjoy the blessing. But if you look at what God's picture is, the promised land is in Jesus, the eternal heavens and earth, the new heaven and new Jerusalem on earth, that God's kingdom will come, that we will stay in that land forever and ever. The blessing is an eternal life in Christ Jesus. The offspring, posterity, is that we will dwell with brothers and sisters, so many different tribes and the language and the picture of heaven, picture of new Jerusalem will be God's fulfillment, consummation of God's big picture. So we are to see ourselves a conduit of God's eternal blessing for peoples, all peoples of the earth. The eternal vision looks like this. Phew, I'm thankful that I'm saved by sin and death and devil. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So now I'm going to concentrate on my family and my people. No, the God's great purpose is God blessed us so that we, you and I, could be a blessing to others. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 12, the fulfillment, consummation of Abraham covenant, God's promise, is a picture is shown to us through this vision. John the Apostle writes, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number." Remember the God's promise to Abraham? Look at the stars in the sky and send. As numerous they are, your offsprings will be dead. So that's the illusion of that. No one could number great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb," referring to Jesus the Son. "And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" So the mission for all Christ is all Christ follows. It calls for our eager obedience in this reason, in this season, not the next season, in our lives for the glory of God. I want to conclude with one quote and the final exhortation for every single one of us. John Stott, this is one of the things that I mean, from this article that I got it challenged again. John R.W. Stott writes, "If God has promised to bless all the families of the earth, he has promised to do so through Abraham's seed." Genesis 12:3, 22:18. "Now we are Abraham's seed by faith, and the earth families will be blessed only if we go to them with the gospel. That is God's plain purpose. I pray that these words, 'all the families of the earth,' may be written in our hearts. It is this expression more than any other which reveals the living God of the Bible to be a missionary God. It is this expression, too, which condemns all our petty parochialism and narrow nationalism, our racial pride, whether white or black or Asian, our condescending paternalism and arrogant imperialism. How dare we adopt a hostile or scornful or even indifferent attitude to anyone of other color or culture if our God is the God of all families of the earth? We need to become global Christians with a global vision, for we have a global God. So may God help us never to forget his 4,000-year-old promise to Abraham. By you and your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Amen to that. Just concluding this, the sovereign God of the universe calls us to his mission, then our missions is a part of God's mission. God blesses us by his sovereign grace and through faith in Christ. Hence, the mission is a God-centered living in which we can respond to God's big picture of his plan. And third and lastly, God blessed us so that we can be a blessing. We will be a blessing to all peoples. So hence, the mission calls for our eager obedience in this season of our lives for the glory of God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for this big picture that you gave us. And may this big picture be in our mind, in our life purpose, in our church's purpose. And give us the eyes to see, the heart to feel how close this is to your heart. That your heart is not just for the one ethnic group, but all the peoples of the earth, the whole wide world. Then you call us to go with this good news and to be a blessing. Lead our church throughout this month to catch the vision and caught the fire of passion, your passion. In Jesus' name, amen.